We are what we consume. If all we're producing is that everyday stuff, that least common denominator, the thing that's always been done and no one's ever gotten fired for producing, then we're going to become those things.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise a glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. Jonathan here. We've got a recurring guest here, and that is David Ebner from the Content Workshop. We're excited. This is going to be a little bit different podcast. We're actually going to talk about a campaign we ran together. We'll get into all of that. I'll share more details on that. But before we do that, David, why don't you introduce yourself and Content Workshop in your own words?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me, Jonathan. I'm also fighting a cold, but it's causing my voice to drop down lower. So I think I've got a good podcast voice today. So I'm David J. Ebner. I'm the founder and president of Content Workshop. We're a brand storytelling agency. We help small and overworked marketing teams use brand storytelling to reach their marketing goals, right? I like to tell people that we're just a bunch of artists in disguise as a content marketing agency. And I'm trying to adopt the disguised emoji guy as like my emoji. So when you see my name is attached, all that good stuff. Trying. I'm attempting. We'll see what happens. But yeah, that's us in a nutshell. We are classically trained storytellers and we have the student loan debt to prove it. That's what we like to say.
I love that. Well, the work shows it. I truly think your guys' content stands out in a sea of sameness, which is why we're always excited to partner together. Before we jump into kind of the meat of the conversation today, this is the Content Cocktail Hour. David, what are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
What I'm drinking right now is a lot of water, which I'm sure smart is man. True for you too, finding a cold. But I just got back from a cruise and it was a Virgin cruise. If you haven't done a Virgin cruise, listen, I get no compensation for saying this. They're the best. Even if you're not a cruise person, go on them. So the drinks, they flow a many, and I've been digging mezcal lately. Mezcal, like a spicy margarita with mezcal instead of tequila, that'll light up your day.
Yes, a big fan of that. Actually, interestingly enough, my sister just got back from a Virgin cruise, and she would classify herself as not a cruise person and said the exact same thing. So
listen,
there you go.
I've got a great I do actually have a great travel agent that actually books Virgin cruises. So if you want a good deal, hit me up afterward.
They would be a hell of a sponsor for the Content
Cocktail
Hour.
They actually would be.
What a wild world.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, well, let's chat. So this is our second podcast recording. This is actually the second time we've tried to record this one, because the first time I reached out to you, you said, hey, what if instead of doing what you said you want to do, we did something completely different? Are you interested? And I said, I don't know what you're up to, but I absolutely am. What was your idea? You want to walk us through it?
Yeah, so content is only as good as the number of people or the right people who see it. Like, that's in a nutshell. And we could produce content all day long, but if the right people aren't viewing it, what does it really matter? It's something that a lot of brands struggle with. So as you reached out to me, my thought was, well, Jonathan's got the audience that we need. We obviously promote our content on The Juice. We're all about it. There's a lot of marketers there. We sell to marketers. Great. But like, it's also like the right thing to do. Let's set that aside for a second. But it's great for me to be on this podcast, to have some visibility with your audience. What's even better is if you and I create something that's a little longer lasting together, right? So we came up with this idea that Jonathan loves to die on hills. The poor man is buried all across America, dying on his hills. So we thought, well, let's pick a hill.
Dumb hills.
Well,
specifically, I like dumb hills to die on.
They're the only hills worth dying on, in my opinion. So our thought was, let's pick one of those hills. Let's pick a topic that has two sides to it. Not one thing is right or wrong. There's just opinion based. It's subjectivity. And let's have a little online feud about it. Something that we somewhat disagree on already naturally. So we set the stage for that. We had some help. Obviously, we had a couple of social media wizards help us figure this out. And we kind of built this conversation, let's call it, on LinkedIn and generated a lot of activity out of that.
Yeah. So the topic we chose was ghostwriting, which I think was a good topic because it's a very broad ranging, just that word alone means a lot of things, different things to different people, which we learned along the way, me specifically. And so, you know, we chose a topic where we could both have kind of differing opinions, but there was a lot of kind of middle ground that we could agree on. But maybe even outside of that topic, we've seen real feuds on LinkedIn resonate. Like, was this tactic something that you were just kind of waiting in the weeds and wanted to find the right opportunity to kind of act on? Or is this the type of content and the type of conversations we need to have to be able to resonate? Or kind of just walk us through, like, what was the aha moment for you saying, like, I want to do that.
So I posted something a while ago about how AI sucks at writing stories, right? And I knew when I posted it, I was going to get, you know, some people. And, you know, there's plenty of great people who can operate ChatGPT, bend it to their will, and use it the appropriate way to create content. There's nothing wrong with that, right? But every piece of content that I've read that's written by AI stands out as written by AI, editing aside. And there's a great video from, I don't know what year it's from, but it's Trey Parker and Matt Stone talking about how they wrote stories for South Park. And if you ever watch South Park, you'll notice how the episodes have such a natural thread and flow from beginning to end. They don't miss anything. It's all building. And that's how stories are supposed to be told. That is probably the thing that AI is worst at, is connecting ideas in a nice, easy segue methodology, not saying here's idea one, here's idea two, but here's a building of ideas over time. And it's all tying back to the original first idea. So anyway, I posted about it instantly, right? Like a barrage of comments float. I had to call my team in. I'm like, team, like, where are you at? Come defend me. Please help me. And it just grew from there. And I thought, this is a great way to develop content. And I thought instantly of you, Jonathan, because you like to post opinions that are, I don't want to say out there, but like somewhat on the fringe. 99% I agree with. The 1% about, I think you said once that popcorn was a terrible snack or something like that. And I'm like,
that's correct.
Jonathan, no.
Quickly, let me hit on that. Popcorn, you're hungry. So you go make a big bowl of popcorn. There's like a 50% chance you burn it and it makes your entire house smell. When you're done eating it, you're not filled up. You're still hungry. Your fingers are buttery. Your lips are salty. You got kernels stuck in your teeth. There's far better snacks.
Okay. All right. All right. We'll agree to disagree there. So anyway, that's kind of where the genesis of this idea came from. For me, the way I think of content, I think a lot about influencer marketing, and not the way that everybody else thinks about. Influencer marketing's been around forever, right? The idea of like sponsoring or somebody with influence sponsoring and promoting your brand has been around for a very, 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 very long time. With the onset of social media, it's got this whole separate like, oh, this is a new thing. It's not a new thing at all. So my thought was, and with content is like every piece of content, people consume it first based off of influence. Who is delivering this content? That is the first reason somebody opens an email, doesn't open an email. Block somebody from a political text. I got a lot of those this year, right? All of those reasons. Like, I like to use my mom as an example. If she sends me an email, no matter what's inside of it, I'm going to open that email. It's my mom. She has ultimate influence over me, right? Yeah. Even if it's just like a chain email, you know, send this to 10 people or you'll have bad luck or whatever, right? I'm going to open it. And I think about that for brands too. Influence is the first reason somebody chooses to consume the content. Once they choose to consume it, you have to hit them with the message. The message has to match the medium. Which medium are you choosing in which to deliver this content? Does the message make sense to be delivered on that medium? And then you have obviously outcomes, like you want them to act on that message, right? All of it falls back to the influence. So if I don't have influence over my audience, the audience I want to attract, I need to find somebody who does. I need to bring them in on the conversation. Jonathan, you've got that, my friend. You've got the influence on the audience that I want to get in front of. So including you in my content is a win-win. Co-created content is definitely the future.
I'm going to try to connect a few dots from that piece there because I think influence is right, but influence is built on trust. And it takes so much time and energy and effort and resources to build the trust to have the influence. And that's something that I think a lot about with AI. So you're talking about AI, right? How much people want or can trust AI? I think you could argue they can, but I don't know if people want to. There's not the same type of trust there. You mentioned South Park and kind of the thread that runs through an episode there. I was talking to actually a friend that I used to work with at a previous company. He's a data scientist, one of the smartest, if not the smart, like the quantitative like peak of everybody I know, right? He is the smartest one. And I was telling him, in marketing, I think we have felt that humans are far better at discerning AI written content versus human written content. And I don't think we anticipated ourselves like being able to tell the difference so easily, but we can. We know it when we see it. He shared some numbers that are actually starting to back that up. Mm-hmm. They've seen in AI written content, AI is using less unique words. They're using more articles and filler words, but they're jamming more information into that the same amount of text as a human would. So what that means is a human is using more unique words, but actually repeating themes more often. So that's how humans tell stories, right? A lot of unique words, but we're repeating. We're going back to the plot. We're going back to the character development. We're going back to kind of these themes that stay throughout an entire episode or an entire piece of content. And there is some real like math to show that out now. AI is actually built on patterns, right? And great stories, great marketing is about pattern disruption or pattern interruption. And I think that's like where we're all kind of netting out on this is that like storytelling is still unique and powerful. And that's not something that AI can replicate.
I have this whole diatribe that I don't know if I ever made it to LinkedIn. I wrote it and then sent the message to myself, like hoping it would make it one day. I'll find it afterward. But it's all about how it depends on the content you're creating, right? If you're creating informational content, all I want to do is have an answer to a question.
It's like binary,
yeah,
right?
Binary. AI is pretty good at that when it's accurate. It's really good at that, right? Like your SGE on Google is fantastic at that box, right? And I don't deter anybody from stopping making that type of content. Keep making that content. You need that foundational content for your site, for your company. You need to do that. However, if you're searching to understand something, if you don't want to know how to, like the answer to the problem, you want to know how to solve it, AI content is not good at that. We need to overlay that with traditional storytelling techniques, character development, you mentioned, even dialogue. Dialogue seems like it's something that's only on the creative endeavor, but dialogue is literally just the conversation between an individual and a brand, right? That can be adapted to commercial storytelling. Those help cement those ideas for us. The reason we repeat them is when you repeat something, you remember it, right? That's pretty simple, right? That's been a core storytelling tactic since we started telling stories in the caves, right? Or whenever the storytelling began. And that's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. And it goes back to that trust, right? Because we know somebody has toiled over something. There's been that pain. There's been that effort put into it. I think that creates trust, which creates influence. Okay. That was an awesome diatribe. I appreciate kind of going off on that AI rabbit hole. Let's bring that back to what we did. So we kind of went mini viral in our world, mini viral on LinkedIn, which is what we wanted to happen, which was great. And we put the effort in ahead of time to do that. We wanted to bring it to life in an event, which would be like real outcomes for both of our businesses and bring some others into the fold as well. And it all worked. You know, it didn't not work. It wasn't like taking us to the moon either. It wasn't like this huge wild success, but it was, you know, it did exactly what we wanted to, which is good because that's what we set out to do, right? And we didn't know if it would actually work or not, but it worked. So like for somebody at Content Workshop, who I know a lot of what you guys provide is writing, right? Everything's happening right now with creators and influencers, video becoming very popular, beefs on LinkedIn becoming very popular. Like, what does this all mean for kind of the future of B2B content? You know, will people move away from blogs and ebooks into more kind of crass content, if you will, like that is fast and furious? Like, how do you kind of digest all of this?
Well, Jonathan, you know, like my saying about predicting the future, right? I'm not one to do that. I want to be the second person. First person can figure it out and then I'll just walk in behind them. But I do believe that people are going to have to get more creative with their content. I think AI is leading us in that direction too, by introducing something that is designed to give you the least common denominator, right? Like what's the most common word used in this string of words, right? That is what AI is providing us. And now obviously you can edit. There's obviously different temperatures. You can adjust it, right? No question. However, the data set is designed to give us predictive text, right? It's actually not that far off from the predictive text models that we had on our phones not that long ago, right? But it's giving us a predictive text based off of the database that is like everything, which is kind of like, it's interesting. So with that being the case, people are producing more and more words, right? I mentioned this on our event that we did, like the distance between bad and passable is not far at all. We have a machine that will produce a bunch of words that actually, you know, for the most part, make sense in a string. But the distance between passable and good is like, you can't even see it on the screen. It's going so far apart. So you have to be able to develop new ways of delivering content, but also creating the content itself. Blogs aren't going anywhere. Unless Google decides to stop working in SEO, blogs are not going anywhere. They're going to be there for a long time. And that's going to be a root foundation of where people get the content. The snippets of pieces will come from those bedrock elements. Ebooks, right? Like we don't do a whole lot of ebooks anymore. A lot of people are shifting more toward reports, industry reports, data-driven elements, right? Large, very big pieces. Like this piece is something we can feast on for many days, right? That is the direction a lot of people are going in. And then they're then automizing it, right? And breaking it down into a bunch of pieces. That is the future. And then those little pieces can become those co-created elements that are shared and used in a beef and tied back to. Most people want to tie back to something on their site. These reports allow them to do that. Blogs allow them to do that. I don't think anything is going to go away. I do think we're actually going to this event. We sponsor one really big event every year, and it's in December. And we got a new booth made. And we made the booth custom just for this event, right? Cool. That's how important it is to us. And we're thinking about the backdrop. And we did a report that essentially, the title of the report is Everything Old is New Again. So we did the backdrop is the moon, and there's an astronaut on the moon, and they plant the flag, and it's Content Workshop on the logo. It looks like kind of like MTV's logo back in the day. And on the backdrop itself, it's going to say, if your marketing is easy to measure, you're not dreaming big enough. You and I have had many conversations about the squishiness of measuring content specifically. But some things are just the right thing to do. The only way you can measure that is it feels like the right thing to do. And I think we're going to see more content and marketing like that. It's the conversation you never want to have with your boss if you work in-house somewhere. It's like, hey, we're not going to be able to measure this thing, but it feels like the right thing to do. Good luck getting budget for that. But those are the things that are going to stand out, right? We did our entire event. Of course, we can measure impressions. We can measure likes. We can measure comments. And by the way, audience, Jonathan's post got way more comments and impressions than mine did. So if you want to do co-created content, he's definitely the guy to do it with. I'm a little jealous about that. But we did all of that, and there's really no way to measure the success of this thing, right? Our goal was simply to say, we know we can have a great conversation about this. We know we have influence over this market in this conversation. We know people will like what we produce. We know it'll add value to their day. So that makes it the right thing to do, right? And how are we going to measure the outcomes of that? I don't know. I really don't. I know it was successful.
And you know what? It was fun. Like it was genuinely like fun. Marketing should be fun. Like if you're not having fun doing marketing, I don't know why you're doing marketing. There's plenty of other things to do. So yeah, I think you're exactly right. Like there is a, right now, especially in a down market, CFOs are often overseeing every decision that's being made. And I think businesses that are willing to zig when others are zagging and invest in brand, invest in storytelling, invest in things that aren't inherently measurable are winning. There are a few examples I know of that have, they've rebranded recently. They've poured a ton of effort and energy into that. And it's like really standing out in the market because there's not many people doing that right now. So I think you're exactly right. I also think on the future of content, you're right about like blogging as a bedrock is not going away. I do think like data-driven content, the two pieces of coaching we often give our customers are data-driven content. If you have proprietary data, share it and share what you know, whether that's a unique perspective or templates or toolkits. Those are two things, your own unique perspective or templates and your own data. That's two things that AI can't replicate right now, right? And just again, ways to stand out from some of the sameness that's happening in the space.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm not going to push back, but I'm going to give you a caveat on the data-driven content.
Are we starting another fight?
Let's start a fight right here, Jonathan.
Yeah.
I think you got to be careful. Marketing, in essence, is a combination of art and science, right? No question. If you rely too heavily on the science, and I guess that's the emphasis of this conversation, you will only create things that have ever been created before. So if using your data to build a report, fantastic. A lot of people say like, I'm a data-driven marketer. Well, nothing is wrong with that. You need to keep doing that. But if you look at the data of what has performed, you can only get data on what has performed in the past. You can make assumptions on what can be like, how can you branch off of that for the future? But you will have no data set that says that crazy wild idea that's in here and there's no numbers attached to it is a good idea. And if you only do what the data tells you to do, then you'll never create anything new. And I think that's where we get kind of like that least common denominator type of content.
Yes.
That is just, I think, I hope as a world, we can elevate the conversation a little bit. I'd love to see content that speaks to a higher, not even just a higher intellect, but a higher purpose. And I only think that because I worry about the world. I have children, right? Like we are what we eat. We are what we consume. If all we're producing is that everyday stuff, that least common denominator, the thing that's always been done and no one's ever gotten fired for producing, then we're going to become those things.
No, I love it. It's a path of least resistance, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that goes back to what we created. You know, it would have been easy to jump on and record a podcast and said, wait, there's a bigger opportunity. Let's take time to plan and collaborate and create something that's new and unique and different. And sure enough, it worked. So I think that diatribe is why we're here today, actually recording the podcast. So Okay, David, this is a bit ironically given this conversation, but the last question we do always end our podcast with is, what's an unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to B2B marketing?
I have so many unpopular
This entire episode's kind of an unpopular opinion.
It's all unpopular opinions. I think the most unpopular one is, don't always do things that are measurable. I worked in-house for many years, and I used to have a saying, every dollar's got a job. And if you can't measure it, don't do it, right? And that'll get you the job if you're in the interview every time. That'll get you the job. It will get you the promotions. You'll climb the corporate ladder with that mantra. But are you going to create something that you're proud of? Think about it for a second. What campaign have you created that you like are really excited to tell people about? Not just put on your resume. You can put the stats, you can put the data points, but I bet you it's going to be the creative idea that you had that was really hard to measure, but it was really cool that you want to share with people. Those are the commercials we remember. Those are the pieces of content that stick with us over time, that because we build an emotional connection with those pieces. So very unpopular, but like, break out of the model of only doing things you can measure. Break out of the model of only doing things that you can, that your boss is going to be happy to hear. And easy for me to say, I run my own company, right? I run an agency, but I also have clients, and a lot of them are probably going to listen to this. I hope most of them agree, but I also know that they've got to go to work the next day. So are you going to smash the like button on a comment like that, knowing that, hey, my supervisor might see that? It's an unpopular opinion, but I do believe it's the right one.
I love it. The coolest campaign I've ever been a part of, based in Indianapolis, where the Indy 500 happens every year. It's a weird celebration, but when you celebrate the Indy 500 after you've been in a race car for 4 hours sweating, you pour milk all over yourself, often on a day that is 90 plus degrees. I fret to think about what that race suit smells like at the end of the day, but we sent custom engraved milk jugs to a bunch of prospects, and the effort that has to go into shipping milk, I can tell you, is quite laborious. But coolest campaign. Did it work? I don't know, but it was really cool and really challenging and really hard. And I think that's a great example of exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, David, if people want to learn more about Content Workshop or pick a fight with you on LinkedIn, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah. I mean, on LinkedIn, I'm David J. Ebner. I tell people the J is silent because I don't use it in anything other than the fact that it's easier to find me if you put a J in there. Feel free to connect with me. I need to match the number of followers that you have, Jonathan. So the next time we do this, I can reign supreme. So LinkedIn, David J. Ebner. That's how you can find me. Contentworkshop.com. There's actually a little chat on contentworkshop.com. It goes directly to my phone. I'm not even kidding. It's like a little avatar of me. It comes to my phone. So if you want to talk to me directly, you can put it on there and I will respond, I hope, as long as I'm not on a cruise ship in the middle of the Caribbean, which has been the case for the last couple of months. So
I love it. Well, there's also, for any Vonnegut lovers, which I know we both share a appreciation for, there's a Vonnegut Easter egg on their website. Encourage you to go find that if you're capable of it. But to everyone who's watching and listening today, thanks for listening along as we share a little bit of background in the campaign that we ran. I hope this help makes your next campaign that much more successful. Until next time, cheers.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.